Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble, very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. I say it again. You, Father God, are my strength. You are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And it's in the name of the Master and the Holy Savior. Jesus Christ, I pray. Again, thanking you, praising you, giving you honor and glory for this day that you are made. I am rejoicing and glad in it. In the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Giving honor to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this morning, because it is the Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for giving us your Spirit, for allowing us opportunity to read your word and to study on it, meditate on it, and allow it to marinate in our spirit. So thank God for another day, because somebody didn't make it into today. You know, with the COVID going on, I always kept going back to that whining song, "Millions Didn't Make It, But I Was One of the Ones That Did." God, that's God, that I'm one of the ones that made it. You're one of the ones that made it. We are the ones that made it. Some people never got it. Praise the Lord. Mine was like a cold. Praise the Lord. Everybody, thank God today. You know, and as I was thinking also this morning, I heard the Clark sisters singing, "Twinkie Heart, Is My Living in Vain? Was my praying in vain? Is my fasting in vain?" Whew. No. Of course not. Hallelujah. I'm on a fast this week for my conference, and I'm thankful. So far, so good for this week. And I know that God has got our conference, ladies of the table, going to be awesome. I'm believing God for it. And I'm believing God that God is in charge. So my church announcement before we get started this morning, Table of Life Women Faith Ministry is having its 10th annual Women's Day conference, and the conference will start at 9 a.m. at Table of Life Ministries, 2600 South 6th Street, Springfield, Illinois. All are welcome. If you are a lady, please wear white. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. Come anyway, because we are not turning anybody away because they're not in white. We're not turning anybody away because they're not dressed this way, that way, or the other. Because it is not about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside. So we're asking you to please wear white. If you don't have it, come anyway. It's going to be an awesome day in the Lord. If you are a singer and would like to sing in the Women's Day Choir, then we would ask you to wear white. There will be a choir rehearsal on Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. with our choir director, Minister LaSonia Jones, at also the Table of Life Ministries, 2600 South 5th Street, where she will give us our music, and we're going to learn these songs in a day. I've watched the work, and I know we can do it. So thank you so much. Have a blessed day, family. No, just kidding. It's time to go to work. And today we are in Isaiah chapter 3. We will be chapter 3 to chapter 4, verse number 6. Again, Isaiah chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 6. We will also be in the 105th Psalm, starting at verse number 7 through verse 22. Our Proverbs for today is chapter 24, verses 26 through 27. And our New Testament word is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is also where our title comes from. And it is, and our title for today is, that's it. By the grace of God, I am what I am. So give God glory today. Give God praise, and let's get started. And the word of God, oh, I'm sorry, one more thing. I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. It is a daily meditation Bible. And the word of God tells us to meditate on his word day and night. This is an awesome word to meditate on. And again, I'm not paid by Dr. Stanley or any of his ministries to hawk his Bible, but I will tell you, and I say this every day, and I will say it until the end of this year, when we finish it, God willing, on December 31st. This is a Bible for everyone's biblical arsenal. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at ChristianBooks.com. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You need to get this Bible. I am coming out of New King James mainly because I like New King James better than I do King James. I grew up on King James. I'm of that age, but I just like New King James for children. That's the ministry that I work in, as well as women. It just makes the word a little bit better to understand. It kind of breaks it down a little bit in a vernacular that this generation can understand. So that's why I come out of New King James. So my King James readers can follow me, and my New King James readers follow me. And I believe NIV follows pretty close with that as well. So thank you so much. Now let's get in our word. I've done my disclaimers. I've done my church announcements. And now it's time to go to work. So who do we work for? We work for God. And what do? We study his word. This is Bible study. So welcome. If you're new to what we do, I read the word of God. I give some life lessons. If you have a word from God that he has given you, push the one on your phone or on your device, and your line will be open. And the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 3, but behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base toward the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power. In that day, he will protest, saying, I cannot cure your ill, but in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. But Jerusalem stumbled, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doing against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory to look on their countenance, witnesses against them. And they declare their sin at Sodom. They do not hide it, woe to their soul, but they have brought evil upon themselves. say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes, for you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. Excuse me, Samba. Excuse me. Wow. That is. Praise be God. And I hope somebody was telling me, bless you. Bless me indeed. Whew, enlarge my territory. Whew, Jesus. I pray for increase. What that means. Thank you, God. Whew. And let's get back over our word. I guess God was saying women rule over them and men have got the season. Whew. And let's go back to verse 12 one more time. And it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and differences. But you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and menacing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the veils, the hairdressers, the leg ornaments, and the headband, the perfume boxes and the charms and the rings, the nose jewels, the pistol apparel and the mantle, the outer garments and the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. And so it shall be. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well that hair falls, instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth and branding, instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit on the ground. Chapter 4 of Isaiah. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent with appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from their midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above our assemblies a cloud and smoke by way and the shining of flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering and there will be a tabernacle, a shade in the daytime from the heat, for the place of refuge and for a shelter from the storm and rain. Ooh. That is a powerful word this morning. That is a powerful word. And the word of God and these life lessons that come from Dr. Stanley, and that's why I say this is a great Bible to meditate on, because Dr. Stanley will pull something out that will just be exactly what you need for the day. And this is what he came out in the life lessons for chapter 3. Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Sin is an affront to the glory of God, an insult to his goodness and righteousness. It is especially serious when a believer sins that God, for God has connected his holy name with that believer whose conduct reflects on God's character. Can I read that again? Especially serious when a believer sins, for God has connected his holy name with the believer whose conduct reflects on God's character. Our conduct reflects on God's character. And I'm going to say it, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace for me was not in vain. That's what Paul said. Are we telling God that when we do what we do, and we are who we are, you know, we all got that, I'm keeping it real, in our attitude sometimes. But we got to make sure when we keep it real, we keep it real for God, and that we don't embarrass him. You know how our parents were when we were kids. Don't you go out there and embarrass me. We don't want to embarrass our Father God. We want to walk in righteousness. We want to walk in his grace, in his glory, and not allow our living to be in vain. And as we continue in Isaiah 3 and 10, it says, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, but they shall eat the fruit of their doing. God always rewards faithful and obedient behavior. Although God would judge Judah for our sin, he wanted to encourage the few righteous believers who remained to continue living for him. For he would remember their good deeds. We'll remember our good deeds. Are you living for God? Are you doing your assignment? Are you working the work that you have been called to work? Are you doing your due diligence? Are you living in vain? God is good all the time, and he wants the best for us. He wants us to walk and talk in his word and show ourselves the proof, because he is God, and he is good, and he's great and greatly to be praised. And we want to be right and do right. And when we go over to our chapter 4 of Isaiah, it says, in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. I'll read that again. Isaiah 4 and 2. In that day, the branch of the Lord, shall be beautiful and glorious. And he says Isaiah is the first prophet to call the coming Messiah by the name Branch. He sees a time when Jesus will reign in glory and bring prosperity and joy to the whole world. And we're going to go over to Jeremiah 11:1, and it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the words of the covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I commanded you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. And I've just read Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 5. And again, they gave an affirmative when he asked them this question. And they said, and they answered and said, so be it, Lord. So be it. And they didn't keep their covenant with God. Are we keeping our covenant with God? Are we doing our assignments that we've been given as his sons and daughters? Are we just willy-nilly doing whatever we want to do? And when we go over to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, everyone of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Are we doing what God said do? Are we following his ways? Are we doing our own thing? Are you doing your assignment this morning? Are you following in the ways of the Lord? Are you keeping his commandments? Are you upholding your end of the covenant and the bargain that we made with God, which is to have no other God beside him, to follow the prince that he has set before us? He has given us an end by giving us that branch called Jesus. And when we go to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 15, it says, in those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And what do we call him? We call him Jesus. We call him Lord. We call him Savior. We call him Master. We call him Jesus, and he is our friend. He is our bridegroom. He is our brother. He's so many things to so many people. But above all things, he is our Savior. Psalm 105, verses 7 through 22. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for a thousand generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel, do as an everlasting covenant, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Let me say it again, to Israel, an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When they were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Come on now. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. And we know Joseph was sold as a slave because of familial jealousy. His brothers hated his guts. Why? Because he was a son of love. was born in love between his father and his mother. He wasn't a concubine's child. He wasn't the sister's baby. He was the love of his parents. And his father loved his mother. And his mother loved his father. His father was a bunch of years to make his mother his wife. Beautiful child was born of love. Was given a coat, a mistress by a father to show his love for him. What an awesome relationship between a father and son of love. But his other brothers didn't feel that they were loved like him because they were born of the sister Leah. They were born of the concubine out of love. And so he was sent into slavery because part of his brothers wanted to kill him. And the other said that it would sell him. So they sold him. And he wound up in Egypt. Working in Potiphar's house. And Terry's skanky wife, and I'm going to call her what she is, skanky wretched wife, decided she wanted to sleep with this handsome young man. And he didn't cry rape when he ran away from her. So he attempted to hurt me. Does that sound familiar in this country anyway? He could have been hung. He could have been brutally killed. But God, he was put into a cell with a cupbearer and a baker whose dreams he interpreted, whose dreams got him out of that cell one day. And he always found favor because he was a child of love, because God loved him more. And God put him in position. Sometimes we think that we're going through something wrong, but maybe we're going through because God is putting you in position. He's putting you in position that he can use you for another occasion. You may be put in position for such a time as this. And Joseph was put in position for such a time as a famine and for such a time as his family would need him the most. Hallelujah. And because God gave him a loving heart, didn't hold his enslavement against him. And as we continue in our psalm word, it says, they hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. What a word. And when we go to our life lesson from 105 Psalms, verse 19, it says, the word of the Lord tested him. And this was a trial that God uses greatly. He first tests thoroughly. As a teenager, Joseph prophesied through the spirit that his brothers and fathers would one day bow down to him. But before that happened, he had to endure much hardship. We through, but understand when you're going through your storm, know that for some reason, God is sharpening me to do better, to be better, to have a word from God. Maybe it is to write that book or those books that he puts into your mind. It's time to put them to paper. It's time to go to work. Who do you work for? Work for God. And as we go into our Proverbs chapter 24, verses 26 through 27, it says, he who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field. And afterwards, build your house. In other words, you got to cut your grass. And I know because I got some grass that's a little long in my private little yard that I got to cut. So I got to cut the grass this morning, praying it don't rain because it looks a mess. We got to do what we got to do for God. And we need to do it with the best of our for God. And as we go into our word, I wonder if that title is coming from this morning. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So for those that are just joining us, thank you so much for coming in and tuning in to this Bible study with myself and Dr. Stanley. Come on now. I'm just going to call it like it is. I don't own the right to this Bible, but I do do what God called me to do and what he called all of us to do, to study and show ourselves approved, to meditate on his word day and night. I am so grateful. Like I said, I slept with the word running on my cell phone last night. And I'm going to tell you, I had some good there. It was awesome. So let's get started. Everybody, hopefully everybody has turned their Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you are in the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, we are on page 1076. Again, we are on page 1076. And it says this, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you read, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you all fast, that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, which is Peter. Then by the 12, after that, he was seen by over 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. But some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James. Then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me, born out of two times. I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace, come on now. This is our word for this morning. This is our title for the day, because Paul was making it known. I wasn't always good. I wasn't always nice. I wasn't always an apostle. I wasn't always a believer. I wasn't always who I am right now. I wasn't always this apostle. I was the last apostle chosen by Jesus out of due time. I wasn't chosen when he was alive. I was chosen after he died. He wanted everybody to know, I'm not who you think I was. I'm different now. Hallelujah. Because I got chosen. And I was given an assignment. Hallelujah. Sometimes we may be chosen at the last and not the first. But we all know who Paul is because he was the last that became first. Come on now. Let's call it straight. And it says, and I want to go right back to verse number 9. For I am the least of the apostles. Who am not worthy to be called an apostle? Not worthy to be called an apostle. He was putting himself down, but we know we put him up. And he was a zealot. He was there when Stephen died, holding the garment, looking at that angelic face, and looking at and hearing this young man say, asking God to forgive him, God. Looking at Jesus standing on the right hand of God, ready to be received by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was ready should go home. But he gave a word with his young self when he should have stayed where he was and waited, but he was so jealous. And we as young people, when we were young and saved, we were jealous too. I know I was. I was some male. I'd preach that word. I would be out talking to my parents like they was the ones that I was supposed to be preaching to. I guess they were my first audience. Because I didn't want them to die and not be saved because that was old. And then I laugh now because the age of my parents then are my age now. And my grandson has called me old because old people want to go to sleep. And I couldn't help but laugh because I asked his mom, why do old people sleep a lot? And his mom said, was thinking he was talking about his sister, who, you know, works evenings and doesn't go to bed until after probably 12 or 1 o'clock. And he said, no, I'm not talking about it. I said, she sleeps sometimes. I'm like, wow, I never thought I'd be called old because in my heart I don't feel old. But then I had to laugh because I do fall asleep on him because he don't want to go to bed. And so I have to read. Then I have to read some more. Then I have to read some more. And before, as I'm reading, my eyes are kind of going to close because he doesn't understand. I've been up since 5 or 6, or 4 or 5 in the morning, sometimes 6. And he sleeps. So he's all wide awake and ready to go. And it's time for him to go to bed because it's time for me to go to bed. And so we have to get our rest so we can do what we're called to do, so we can do who God. Paul wanted everybody to know who he was, and he didn't sugarcoat. He didn't, you know, act like he was this great and wonderful person. He said, I persecuted God, the church of God. But, can y'all put that in there? But, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Can we say that today? But, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored, went to work, more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe, thank you, Jesus. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. The dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. Now, verse 20 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. But since by man came death, by man also comes the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Hallelujah. Say it again. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ of afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. But he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. But he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Oh, Jesus, what a way. It's a life lesson from this scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Anything worthwhile that we accomplish for God is done through the guidance and empowering of his Holy Spirit. His grace prompts us to get busy, not to get lazy. Hallelujah. Can I say it again? His grace prompts us to get busy, not to get lazy. 1 Corinthians 15 and 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. The physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is essential to the truth and power of the gospel. There is no Christianity without his resurrection. There is no Christianity without Christ. And I'm going to say that word. There is no Christmas without Christ. Remember that as you're doing what you're doing, because folks are already starting to shout for Christmas. Remember, the whole purpose of Christmas is Christ. Don't get caught up in the spending hype. I'm just saying already to my family, I'm not giving a whole bunch of stuff because you already got a whole bunch of stuff. Just saying. We got to understand who we belong to. We belong to the Father. We belong to the Son. We belong to the Holy Ghost. And we are Christians because of Christ. Are we living? Are we doing what we're supposed to? But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. The grace of God in us accomplishes everything we are assigned to do by God. Are you doing your assignment this morning? And this is a life example. And it says, James, a changed man. At the beginning, James refused to believe in either the ministry or the deity of Jesus, his brother. James was like, I knew him. He's my older brother. But I don't know anything about him supposed to be some kind of Christ. I know he's always been different. He's always been there for us. But this Christ thing, this deity, this Son of God, then, you know, because I'm sure he was looking in the fist and thinking, well, if he's not my father's son, then that makes my mother, you know, not have done right. But not understanding it in a different context. So let's go over to Mark chapter 3, verse 32. I'm going to try to get this in before our time runs out. And it goes on to say, Jesus' mother and brother sent for him. Okay? This is in Mark. And it says this. And I love this verse. It says, then his brothers and his mother came. Standing outside, they sent for him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Hallelujah. So are you doing the will of God this morning? And it goes on to say, and we're going to go over to John. We're going to get some scripture this morning. Again, this is Bible study. And we don't have a lot of time, but I want to try to get these scriptures this morning. And we're going to go to John chapter 7, and we're going to go over to verse number 5. And it says this, but even his brothers did not believe in him. believing him. Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of that it works are evil. You go up to the feet. I am not yet going up to the feet, but my time is not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But if we go back up to verse number 4, and it says, when no one does anything in secret while he seeks himself to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. But even his brothers did not believe in him. His own brothers didn't believe in him. We believe in Jesus. That is the foundation of our faith, is our belief in Christ. And as we continue in the word, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:5-8, which we just read, Paul lists those to whom the risen Christ appeared. These, along with the disciples, James is singled out. Soon after the resurrection, James and his brothers joined the disciples in devoting themselves to prayer as they awaited the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:14, and we're going to go over to Acts 1:14, it says, these all continued. Let's go up one more time. It says, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And it says, James, not Peter, or one of the other disciples, led the Jerusalem church through its early days. The missionaries who informed this church, of their activities, reported to James, its leader. And if we go over really quick to Acts 15, go down to verse 12, I believe. James was in charge. And it says, let's go to verse 13. It says, and after they had become silent, James answered. Let's go up. It says, then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visit to the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the word of the prophets agree, just as it is written, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things, known to God from eternity in all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things. This is what we got to do. But we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, no idolatry, from sexual immorality, and from things strangled and from blood. Quit eating them red steaks. But Moses had throughout many generations, those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Proves that even when you feel the most comfortable with the Lord, even when you believe you have him figured out, he can still surprise you and change your world. So thank God today that he has changed our world. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. We'll be back in our prayer book on tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a regular time. We will be at our normal 7:00 time on tomorrow. But starting Thursday, Thursday, Friday, and Monday are these days coming up. So not tomorrow, but Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. Those 4 days. Again, Sunday will be regular time. So Thursday will be at 6:00 instead of 7:00. Friday will be at 6 o'clock instead of 7. Monday will be at 6 o'clock instead of will be at 6 o'clock instead of 7. So set the time for an hour early. We'll be at 6 instead of 7 because I have to take my grandchildren to school. They'll be staying with me over the weekend. So again, Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, we will be at 6 a.m. So thank you so much, family. I appreciate you. I love you all. And a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Please keep her in your prayers. She will be traveling today, coming from her destination. And our word for this morning is this. Good morning. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled. He is for you. Trouble-free Tuesday. And our word for today, one more time. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Thank God today. Again, just God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled. Thank you, God. He is for you, eh? He is for you. Just remember that. Touch your heart and say, Lord, I thank you for being for me. Because it's by your grace toward me. But I am what I am. Have a blessed day, family. It has been a great word, and as always, our prayer for each other is may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the presence and the holy name of our matchless Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for each other. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you, and I need you to survive. We all need each other in the body of Christ. So we work together for his glory and for his grace and for his mercy. We are where we are. But let our living not be in vain. As we worship, as we pray, as we go to work for the Lord. Have a blessed day, family. As we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. It's time to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed. Please join me tomorrow. Tomorrow is 7 a.m. So join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. And we're going to move forward in Isaiah and Corinthians and our Psalm and Proverbs. Have a great day. It's a wrap.